Okay, Shavua Tov. We are in Hilchos Kriyashma, Parak Gimel, and we left off with Halacha Dalid. But you have to know from Halacha Gimel that you cannot say Kriyashma in the bathroom. We'll just focus on that case. So the Rambam expands that to include a halacha where I think everyone's pretty much familiar with, which is in Halacha Dalid, V'lo Kriyashma Bilvad, Elo Kol Inyan Shehu Medivrei HaKodesh, so you're not allowed to talk Torah. Can't learn in the bathroom. No learning in the bathroom under any circumstances. Even if you learn in English, I mean, if it's another language, it still will be prohibited to learn anything. Medivrei HaKodesh. That's the tricky part, because obviously, that means halacha. Of course, you get to the old circular question. Can you ask someone if it's mutter to learn in the bathroom when they're in the bathroom? For instance, let's say this happened to me before, where I'm in the bathroom and someone accidentally asked me a question about halacha when I'm in the bathroom. So can I tell them, you can't ask me a question about halacha in the bathroom when I'm in the bathroom? So you get these cute little circular questions. Happens by Avelis also. Can you ask an Avel about Hilchos Avelis? But in general, you're not allowed to learn inside the bathroom. That's the hard part. But divrei Torah, even to think about divrei Torah, okay? You're not allowed to do in the bathroom. And that's a challenging thing. It could be in the middle of a Gemara, stop to go to the bathroom. You have to somehow will yourself to not think about that Torah. So that's why the idea of, so to speak, reading in the bathroom is helpful, because it distracts you from Torah. So basically, say base merchatz. As well, okay, and which we'll get to soon, any area in your body, that's exposed, that's specifically makom tinofes, which would be around your genitals, right, and that area where you defecate from or urinate, so that whole area is also off limits about saying Torah in front of, which we'll get to soon. Now, the Rambam says in Lacha, hey, dvarim shachol, but mundane matters, mutal amram, belashon kodesh, bevesaki says. That's interesting. You can say divrei chol using Hebrew in the bathroom, and not only that, v'chein hakinuyim kigon rachum v'chanon v'neaman. Even those names of God, which are not the seven critical ones, so to speak, but more like the secondary names, for lack of a better term, you can say the term rachum in the bathroom. Mutal amram beis kisei. Aval shemos hamyuchadim. Okay, v'chein hashemos einanim chaken. So, by any shem Hashem that is prohibited. That you're not allowed to erase. Also, lahaskiram beisakise beisamerachas joshim. So then you can't. You can't recall those names. You can't mention them in the bathroom. Then this damin lo lahafresh min davar aser beisamerachas so beisakise mashresh afil lashon kodesh v'yaneo kodesh. But as long as he's thinking about something to remove himself from a state of iser, then it'll be permitted to do. So when it, now the Shulchan Aruch and others in Achronim try to limit talking in general in the bathroom, that's a general idea. The person shouldn't engage in conversation at all in the bathroom. But you do see the big difference, which is a person can talk about mundane manners, but he certainly can't talk or think about anything that has to do with Torah. And it's a good advice to figure out something to do in the bathroom to take your mind off of it. So even thinking about Torah in the bathroom is prohibited. Okay, now we're going to move into the area of feces and urine and situations where you kind of can't say Kriya Shema when you're in the presence of them. I don't think this is a very common occurrence today, but it's still something important to know. So he says in the Halacha Vav, Tzoas Adam, Betzoas Klavim, V'Chazirin, Bizman Sheish B'Tochan Oros, okay, V'Chol Tzoas Arecha Ra. And that's like the real key one. So basically, it doesn't matter if it's feces from a man, from a human, or dog, or pig feces, which has like Oros in it, which makes it smell worse, okay? Or basically any Tzoa that smells bad, could go in Elu, these are examples. Also Likros Kriyashma Kenegda. Okay, so you can never say Kriyashma next to bad-smelling feces. And also next to urine. But for animal urine, it is permitted to say kriyashma next to it. Okay, so that's one factor. And katan sheni yochol leachol kizayis dagan v'kadeh shiyocha ha-gadol k'shol shabetze dagan in marchikin lo mitzvosov le-meimei raglam. That's interesting halacha. So the Rambam I'm saying is that if you have a katan, let's say the katan's nursing, okay, I mean, they're not eating food yet. Well, food in the classic sense, we would say food. So in that situation, you would be allowed to say Kriya Shema near urine or feces, let's say a dirty diaper, because we're going to assume there's not a reach ra. But if once they start eating dagan, meaning some of the grains, so then we can assume that the tsoa that comes from the baby will be foul smelling. Now, I don't know what he's talking about. If the child hasn't yet started eating wheats or grains, then it'll be permitted to say kriya shema next to the tsoa of a child. Halacha zayin ha'isa tsoa yevesha kecheresh aso likros kenegda. Okay, avavim ha'isa yevesha yosem mecheresh achim zarka tisparech harika offer muta likros kenegda. So this is talking about if you're let's say a dog did his business right next to where you're saying kriya shema and it's dried out. So now, just dried out is not enough to create a heter to say kriya shema next to it. It has to be dried out to the point that if you threw it up in the air, it would crumble to little pieces. At that point, halachically speaking, it doesn't have the chal shame of being tso anymore. Mei raglayim shenivlu bekarka. Now, a little more makel by urine. If urine gets soaked into the ground, im hayu martivin hayad aser likros kenegda milav mutter. So it's a question of if I push my palm down on it, okay, would I feel it or not? So if there's a urine stain on the ground, okay, so the shear would be is if I touched it, would any of the residue be attached to me, okay? If that weren't the case, then it would be mutter to go ahead and say kriya shema next to that urine stain, okay? That's halacha zayin. Halacha ches. Now, does that mean I can never say kriya shema anywhere near feces or urine? No. Kama yarchik adam mitzoa me raglayim. There's a distance. Vachrak yikra arba amos. As long as arba amos in general halacha is a person's personal domain or personal space. Okay, so as long as it's outside your personal space, then you'll say there's no tsiruf, there's no relationship between me and the tzoa. So as long as it's outside of arba amos, then it's mutter. Bamed dvar memurim, okay. Bizman shahim mel. I'm sorry? So, bamed dvar memurim, okay. So when is this an issue? Bizman shahim mil achorov umitzidov. So it's always about whether it's behind you or to the side of you. Aval im hayu keneged panov, okay, but let's say it's in front of you in your vision, right? Marchak mehen achilo yira osan marchak yikra. So then you have to go until you can't see it anymore. So that's an important point. See, the issue of tsoa meraglayim is not necessarily the smell. It's an association with it. And you associate with it either if it's within your personal space, right? Or if you see it, because if you see it, by seeing the object, so now you're creating some type of relationship with it, and the Torah comes along and doesn't want, or the Chazal come along and explain that the idea of tsoa meraglayim as being part of the we'll get to tefillah soon, but kriya shema is a problem. It doesn't seem like a person has to go out of their way to search out for tsoa. Rather, the indicator, I mean, he's going to hint at this soon, but the indicator is going to be reach ra. That's really the indicator, okay? In other words, he's about to get to that in halacha test, but the indicator is going to be the smell. Meaning, a person doesn't have to go out of his way and search through the entire facility that he's in to make sure there's no presence of tzoa, right? But at the same time, it's really when it presents to you. You know what I mean? So that's what he says in halacha test. He says, "Omedvar morim kishahaya imahen bebayis b'makom shave." Now, all the thing he said before is if it's on the same level as you. Okay, which we'll explain in a second. Aval im hayasham makom gavoh mehen asarat tvachim, o namach mehen asarat tvachim. So if it's 10 tvachim above you or 10 tvachim below you, okay, yoshe betzada makom v'korei shari nifsak b'neim. So again, that's similar to the idea of personal space. If it's asarat tvachim above you, then you could say there's a hefsek, meaning it's in a different makom in relation to me. So even if it's within arba amos, if it's above 10 tvachim, I can say it's outside of that domain. But again, v'hu shelo yagia lo reach ra. That's the key. So it's always about the smell. The smell is the prominent factor. V'cheinim kafa kli alatzoa al meim raglayim. Let's say a person puts a cup, right, or a vessel over the tzoa or the meim raglayim. Afa pi shehein ima b'bayis harei ilu kikvurin umurta lirukos konekdan. So you see, it's not about the existence of the thing per se. It's about me relating to it. So if I put something over it, right, then I've created a breach. In my relationship with this substance, and I'll say it doesn't affect my kriya shema. It's mutter for me to say it. How far do you go with this? And halacha yud haya beino benetzoa mechitza shel zchuchis. Let's say I set up an actual. It's fascinating halacha. Let's say I set up an actual glass mechitza, a see through, okay, between myself and the tzoa. Afa pishuhu roa osa meachorei hazchuchis mutter likros betzida. Even though I see it, okay, I see it with my eyes, right? Nonetheless, I'm still allowed to say kriya shema next to it, okay? Why? Right? Why should that be the case? But can't the guy see it? Right? So that's why halacha works a lot differently than I'd say physically in like an intuitive way relate to how the physical world works. A mechitza halachically means a divide, right? And as long as I have an object that's dividing me and something else, right? The division is there, even though I can see it. Maybe on a functional level, it may not be functioning the way it's supposed to function as an objective for this specific area, but I cannot deny the fact that this is a wall. It just happens to be a see-through wall. So the same thing happens by tzoah. If the person can't, even though the person can see the tzoah, it's as if, it's going to sound crazy, it's as if he's not seeing it. That's the key. It's as if he's not actually seeing the tzoah. His eyes are reporting to him and his brain is constructing the image of the tzoah, but luckily speaking, since the mechitza is there, there's no relationship between him and the tzoah at all. The other solution, nasun revius mayim betoch mei raglayim, okay, if I go ahead and dilute, okay, the urine, okay, so let's say I pour a revius of water, the toch mei raglayim, shel pam achas, mudlikros imam betoch ha'adamos. So there's a mechanism of diluting urine, right, to the point where, I can, again, you'd argue it loses its identity as being urine, or you could argue it's tarovis, whichever road you want to go down. At that point, it would be mutter for me to go ahead and say Kriya Shema next to the urine. Now, Loch Yad Aleph, Haisat Soa Beguma. Now, let's say there's feces in like a furrow, okay? You know, you're walking outside, you realize, it's time to say Kriya Shema, and somehow there's feces next to you, but it's in a ditch, okay, or a little pit. So ome bisandalo alaguma vakora. So you can cover it. You can step over it with your sandal or with your shoe, okay, and re-kriya shema. Because what are you doing at that point, right? You're removing it from your personal. In other words, even though physically it's within arba amos, you've come up with a solution where, as far as you're concerned, it doesn't exist. V'hu shelo yeh sandalo nogeya ba, but it can't be that my shoe's touching it. So there is another nifty solution, which is if I cover the hole with my shoe. So again, I'm breaking, I'm cutting off the relationship between myself and the tzoah. Haisa kenegdot tzoah me'uta bioser, kemo tipa. Let's say there's a little tiny drop, a little tiny amount of tzoah next to you. What do you do? Rokek aler rok ava ashe diskase vekora. You could actually spit on it, okay? And by spitting on it, you can, like a thick spit, until it covers it up, and then you can read. So again, there is another way where you can create a saliva dome over the tzoah and be permitted to read, but it's only if it's a very, very tiny amount. Haisa netishas tzoah al besaro, o yoda mitunafos, mi besakise, velo haya lahan lehen reach ra klal, okay, bimne kotnan o yivushasan, muto likros, vishayin lehen reach ra. Now let's say you get a little bit of urine on your hands, okay? You went to the bathroom, right, and the person didn't wash their hands, all right, and now they have a drop of urine on their hand, okay? As long as there's no reach ra, right, as long as it doesn't smell bad, it'd be mutter for him to go ahead and say Kriya Shema. Okay? Avalim haisab in Makoma, afa pish ena nires, kishu omeid, hov nires, kishu yosev, also likros, achi kanech, yafi yafe, meshat soa lochahi, vieshla reachra. But the converse would be is, let's say it's in a place where he doesn't see it, okay, when he's standing, but he would see it when he's sitting, okay? Then he'd have to wipe that off, okay? So if it was a situation where he got a little urine, let's say, on the back of his pants, like a drop, and it didn't smell. Mutter for him to say it as long as there's no reach ra. But if it's somewhere visible, he has to wipe it off, right? Even because we assume it's a reach ra. But it's interesting what he says in the end. V'kama ga'onim horush atzol likros ima yadam nutafas kachra yilasos. But the ga'onim came along and said, you know what? We don't want people to start working out at what point when they have some excrement on them, whether it's permitted for them to say Kriya Shema or not. Rather, what do they say? They said, you know what? Best not to do it at all. So the Gaonim, many Gaonim came out and said that it's usher to say Kriya Shema if your hands aren't clean. Meaning if you went to the bathroom and didn't wash your hands, it would be a problem. Just as a methodological note, when the Rambam brings in Kama Gaonim, right? So again, we haven't seen enough of this yet to see, to get a full exposure to his methodology. But he's not talking about Sanhedrin here. He's talking about some great poskim came up with this, right? He's not necessarily saying that he paskins this way. He's just saying that you should know, right, that there are important rabbanim who came out and said that it's usur to ever read Kriya Shema when your hands are dirty. But it doesn't necessarily mean the Rambam's endorsing that, okay? So the Rambam's responsibility is to first bring down the halacha as it is, and then let you know, by the way, in this specific area, there happens to be some of the Gaonim step up and give a different, a more stringent position on it. Okay? Halach Yadalit. Now, this is actually a more prominent problem. Reach Ra. Sheesh lo Iker. Marchik Dalit Amos. Vikore. So let's say there's a bad odor, a bad smell. Okay? Usually means, like, let's say someone passed gas. Okay? As long as there's a source, as long as I can identify the source of what produced the Reach Ra, I have to stand 4 Amos away. And then I can say Kriyashma. Im pasak areach, im pasak areach, v'im lo pasak areach, marchik ad makom she pasak areach. So the dalat amos works if I don't smell it at all. But let's say, what do you call it? Let's say the reach is still going, so I have to obviously move as far away as possible until, what do you call it, I can't smell the reach anymore. Ujein lo ikar, okay, but let's say there's no source. Source here usually means like feces. Let's say there's no source. Kigo mish yatsi menu ruach milamata. Let's say someone passed gas. So you have to move away to the point where you don't smell it anymore, or the smell's not affecting you, and then it's mutter to say kriyashma. Okay? Garav sharei v'avit shal meimi raglayim, asur likros kriyashma kedegdan, v'af bishayim hen klum, v'aylam reach ra, v'ishayim kebesa kise. So that's also like, like areas where urine or garbage would be and stuff of that nature, like latrines and stuff like that, all those areas, it's also prohibited to say kriyashma next to them, even if there's no reach ra, because you treat them like a basic kise. So it doesn't have to be a formal bathroom. If there's an area where you know urine's going to be found often, it'd be usher to say kriyashma next to that as well. Okay, halach yugimel. Tsoa overis, kagon, shahaisa, shata, apanei amayim. So let's say there's feces that's floating on water, okay? So if it's floating by, usher likros kenegda. Even though it's in a state of motion, right, we don't say that it was in my domain there, but not anymore here. And then when it gets to here and not there, we say it's constantly in a state of being in my domain. All right, upi chazer kitsoa overis dummy, right? V'asu likros kenegdo achiyav meno arbamos. And same with the mouth of a chazer, it's considered like tsoa overis, and the same halacha would apply. Now, halacha yadalit, okay? Now comes, we've left feces and urine. Now we're going to get into the areas of your body that, about being exposed to those areas, I think. He says, halach yadal, hayakura v'igil makam atinofes, loyaniach yado al piv v'yikra, el yafsik ach yavor m'osa makam. So let's say you're running your hands over your body, okay, and you happen to touch an area that's supposed to be underneath your clothes, like your genital area as an example. Right, you don't put your hand over your mouth and then read, right? Rather, you wait until you've passed over that makom. V'chein ha-koreh she-yatsa men ha-ruach m'mata, yafsik ad she-techala b'isha v'chozo l'kriyasa. Right, so let's say also in a situation where you pass gas, right? So you have to wait. You have to wait until the smell goes away, and then you can go back to reading. V'chein v'divrei Torah, yatsa ruach mechavero, afi she-mafsik l'kriyashma, in opposed to divrei Torah. But if someone else passes gas, let's say you're in a base medrash and someone else passes gas, so you don't you have to stop your kriyashma, but you don't stop your learning Torah. So it is interesting that they make a distinction between kriyashma and learning Torah. Halacha tesvav hayakora kriyashma bebayis v'nistapek lo im yesham soa meimim raglayim o einsham harizim botalikros. Let's say you're in a house and you're reading kriyashma, and all of a sudden you're unsure if there's soa in the house or not. It's mutter to continue to read. Now hayakora beashba, but let's say you're reading in a dump. Back then it seemed like an outdoor garbage pile. Venistapiklo, imyesham soa or ein sham, right? But let's say he's unsure if there's in this dump there's soa or not. Lo yikra ach yivdok, okay, then, and that's going back to Ron's question, you have to check in that situation. Shechezkasa ashba shehi makam atinofes, right? Because the assumption is that this area, what it called, of a dumpster is going to have in it things like feces and urine. That's going to be a normal thing. But if you're unsure about meiraglayim being there, now I'm not sure what factors go in determining the suffix by ashba, right? But what you do see, though, is that the only time where there's a requirement to check is if the makam itself, like this makam, it's not a base kisei, right? So, because it's also a base kisei is defined intrinsically as a makam atzoa, and it's not like a regular place where there's nothing to worry about whatsoever. And ashba is the one place that has in it a suffix, because you're not sure. It's a place normally where soa can be found, but you're not sure if it's soa there right now or not. So that's the one situation where you'd have to check. Okay? Halacha tes zayin. Kishem she'asur likros keneged soa meiraglayim. Ach yarche kakasur likros keneged erva. Okay, I'm sorry. So here's where it starts. So just like I can't read next to soa meiraglayim, I also can't read kriyashma in front of an area of my body that's exposed, okay? It's prohibited to be exposed. Ach yachzer panav, okay? Until I turn away, okay? So for instance, if somebody is standing in front of me naked, right? I cannot say Kriya Shema while facing them. I must avert my eyes and turn away, right? To say Kriya Shema. Afil kusi or katan, it doesn't matter if they're not Jewish or they're a child. Lo yikra keneged ervasan, right? You cannot read Kriya Shema next to their erva. Afilu mechitza shel zchuchis, mafsekes. So this is the big nafkamina, the big difference. By the case that tzoa, even we say it's as if the wall is there. So we say there's no relationship between him and the tzoa. But by erva, even though I can say, one second, there's a wall there, but nonetheless, since I can see the erva, it's going to affect my Kriya Shema, and therefore it's also me to say Kriya Shema in that situation. Because that's the problem. The problem is that tzoa is a certain type of relationship that I'm creating with the substance. It's disgusting. Here by erva, right, when I look at the erva, right, put aside the fact that itself is usser, right? But the problem is that there, that's going to automatically affect my kriya, okay? The chol gufa isha erva, and the entire body of a woman is considered erva. Lefikach lo yistaka b'gufa isha shu kara. So you should not look at his wife, right, when he reads kriya shma. Vafila ishto, excuse me, you shouldn't look at a woman, and even if it's his wife. Vimaya megula tefach megufa lo yikra konekta. And even if one tefach of her body is exposed, right, anywhere in her body, okay, he should not read Kriya Shema looking at her, okay? That's the key thing, all right? So that's an interesting thing. So that doesn't mean that it's only for something like Kriya Shema, or you'll see by tefillah, this presents a problem. So if a woman is, if she's wearing clothes, if let's say her arm is exposed, he shouldn't look at her while saying Kriya Shema, okay? Halacha Yitzayim, Ukushem Shu, yeah, go ahead, Ron. Halacha Yitzayim, he says, Ukushem Shu aser keneged ervas acherim, Kahu also likros keneged ervaso, okay? Just like I can't read Kriya Shema keneged someone else being naked, so to myself. Vil yikra kishu arum achi chas ervaso. So I can't read Kriya Shema while I'm naked, okay? Until I cover that my erva, okay? So haisacha gura shal beged or sak al masnav. Let's say he's wearing some sort of like loincloth. Afa pisha shar gufa arum mutal likros Kriya Shema. So even though the rest of my body is exposed, as long as my genitals are covered, I'm going to say Kriya Shema. V'hu shaloye ikvo nogea bervasa, right? Hayasha betaliso is another famous case. If you sleep underneath a blanket, v'haya arum chotzeis betaliso mitachas liba v'kora. It's a very funny idea. So what does he have to do? So if he's sleeping underneath a blanket and he's naked underneath the blanket, so then he has to create a chatzitza. He has to pull the blanket down so it's below his heart, v'kora. Ava lo yachutz tzavaro v'yukrav ne shaliba roes erva. Then said Kamisha Kara below Chagura. But if you went ahead and pulled the blanket up, okay, to let's say cover his neck, which means that underneath the blanket, right, from the neck down, he's naked, and therefore there's a relationship between his heart and his genitals. So in that situation, it'll be a problem, right? We don't want the libo, I mean, he's taking this literally, to be roa, the erva. My heart should not see what it called the erva, okay? So if you're lying naked underneath a blanket, what do? You go ahead and pull the blanket down to about your heart, a little bit below your heart, and then it'd be mutter to do that. And he ends off in Alach Yud Ches by Shnayim Shayu Sheni Metalis Achas Kol Echad Mehen Also Likros Afi Shechasa Mitachas Libo. If two people are sleeping underneath a blanket, naked, okay, neither one of them can say Kriya Shema, even if the blanket is being covered from their heart down or their chest down. Achit Hei Talis Mafsekas Beinayin. Right, until this the blanket is creating a hefsek between them. Until there's no touching, there's no ability of the lower half of your body to touch the lower half of the body of the person next to you. But let's say you're sleeping in bed with your wife or your kids, your little kids. Hare gufan kigufo. Okay, v'enu margish man. In that situation, right, then their goof is like your goof. And you don't really feel it, right? Because remember, it was much more normal for everyone to sleep in the same bed back in those days. Even though my lower half is touching them, I can turn away, okay, and then use the chatzitza of starting from the chest down. So if it's with your family, then there's more of a leniency. And finally, he says, to qualify one thing, he says, not between the erva and the heel. No. Until when are the ketanim considered ketanim for this area? Ad shi hazachar ben shtemis reshana of yom echad, ben akema bas achas reshana of yom echad. So by a male, it's 12 years in one day, and by a female, it's 11 years in one day. V'hu shiyeh tavnisam ketavnis gedolim, shadayim nechono usarech tzemach, tzemach. So basically, it's when they start hitting puberty, okay? When a young man or young woman starts hitting puberty, whether it's their breasts start coming in or pubic hair, etc., all those situations indicate that it's a problem. So when it comes to the family, for ketanim, it's only when they're prepubescent. But let's say they haven't hit puberty yet, meaning it's 12 and older, let's say by the male, and they haven't hit puberty, the indicators aren't in place, right? Then it would still be mutter to say Kriya Shema with Kiyur Basar, right? Until they actually turn 13. So this actually gets into a much broader issue of what's the definition of bar mitzvah? There's two indicators. There's the signs of puberty, and then there's the age of 13. Interestingly enough, today, everyone jumps on the age of 13 as being the indicator, right? I've yet to see someone say, I'm going to push off my son's bar mitzvah celebration because they haven't had signs of puberty. But you should just know both those factors are important. It's not just enough to turn 13. It's also to ensure that the young male and the young female both hit puberty as well.